Hey guys, I am Ashley. I'm with Pop Culture Uncovered, and I am here with Wreck the System. If you guys don't mind, introduce yourself, please.
Hello, my name is Lady J.
My name is Osiris Green, aka Osiris Green.
AKA Storytime Man.
Storytime Man.
Storytime Man.
I am Cam 3.
And I'm 12 to Stone.
Awesome, guys. So I would like to know, introduce our audience to what Wreck the System is.
All right. Well, essentially, we're a nerdcore hip hop band. We all kind of came, from solo backgrounds, so we all used to do things on our own and mainstream, nerdcore, whatever you want to call it. We all do music. We have an assortment of skills we use: engineering, graphic design, producing, beat making. And we saw a vision, and we all kind of just clicked. So now we're family. People see it in our acts and when we interact with each other, and we love what we do. That's a short answer.
Dope. So, what is nerdcore exactly for those who don't know or are unfamiliar with it?
Okay. So nerdcore is a subgenre of hip hop. It mostly focuses around nerd and geek culture. Now, this can be embodied in a bunch of different ways. For example, sometimes people will sample old school video games or current video games they like into their hip hop beats. This actually can be found a lot in mainstream culture, as we found Osiris knows a crap load about that. But then, you'll also have people who do songs where, there's either nerdy influences or the punchline at the end is something like long hair like Sephiroth or something stupid like that. And then you've got straight out people who will just do songs where they act like, my name is Link and I'm walking around Hyrule and I ride a horse named Kona, And so it can be a bunch of different things, but at the end of the day, it's mostly hip hop. It is slowly kind of going into other avenues like EDM, pop. I've seen even folk singers doing it. And it's mostly just about the love for the nerd geek community.
Dope. Okay, how did you guys get into nerdcore? Like, how did you learn about nerdcore being a thing?
It's all different for everyone.
It definitely is all different. I know with me, I pretty much been in hip hop since I was nine. It's 20 years. But I was, just honestly rapping about what I liked, my culture, what I experienced, and because a lot of it had nerdy influence, it seemed to fit the genre. And my friend Vega, shout out to her, she's an awesome panelist that travels from con to con. She's like, hey, you're doing nerdcore. You should probably check out like Mega Ran or whoever else. So I'm like, what is that? So it's interesting because technically I was doing nerdcore before I knew it was a thing.
Interesting. Anyone else? Because I'm interested here for everyone.
All right, so I had quite the different upbringing, as I'm sure you can imagine, being the white girl in the group. I did not the white girl. Originally was really, I took voice lessons as a kid and was mostly more into singing and didn't get into hip hop until about college. And during my college years, I worked for a website known as Encyclopedia Dramatica. And at the time, I did a lot of music parody work for them. So again, before I even kind of knew what I was doing, it was a lot of dark humor, as I'm sure you can imagine anyone who runs with that internet circle. But it was a lot of nerd influences and themes as well. And then I took a hiatus, and then 2014, a hacker friend of mine was like, hey, because we hadn't hung out in a while, he had gotten into some trouble, and he was like, have you heard of this guy named Whitey Cracker? And I was like, YouTube Cracker? Like, what are you talking about? And Whitey is one of the, you guys can say, grandfathers of the genre, besides like Lars and Frenalot and Ran. And him and I have a very similar background, which is internet culture, hacker hacktivism sort of things. So I listened to him and I was like, wait, this is a thing? People rap about hacking and computers? Like, please sign me up. And so instantly I was hooked. And he was kind of like the gateway drug that got me into nerdcore. And then, of course, it just kind of exploded from there. And here we are. Nice. 2 hours later.
I guess for me, my introduction to nerdcore was kind of weird. I've always been, I guess, sort of aware of, I guess, nerdcore rap as a thing. Like, I think I remember hearing MC Chris for the first time, like, on Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And, and just realizing it was a thing, started by watching all these videos and stuff like that. And it was some funny stuff, because a lot of them are, like, kind of, if you're familiar with Weird Al Yankovic and stuff like that, a lot of them can start out as, like, a lot of parody artists and stuff like that. And it seemed pretty cool for what it was, but I didn't know that was me, because I figured I was a nerd. I actually was rapping at the time, but I always kind of kept that separate for some reason, like, because I didn't know if I was particularly nerdcore like that. And as I was getting through school and everything like that, me and Jay started linking up, started doing more songs and collaborations and everything like that. And at the time, I was doing video game remixes and whatnot, but like I said, I always kept it separate. And so when we were finally talking about launching, like Wreck the System and everything, we had talked about breaking into nerdcore, and I was wondering if they were going to accept us, because I didn't know if we fit the criteria. I thought we had to be a certain level of nerd in order to get there. But then we started listening to the other artists in there and whatnot. A lot of them, like Megalyn and Samus, and a lot of folks that kind of grew up in our background and everything like that. But at the same time, had different experiences that weren't just talking weren't just for laughs and everything like that. They were talking about the experience growing up into the geek culture and everything, what these characters mean to them and what this whole culture meant. And so it really brought us into it. And that's pretty much how I decided, with the Resurrect the System. That was pretty nerdcore.
Dope.
What is nerdcore? Okay, so I'm the baby of the group, but of genre. So I was a mainstream head, and then I got very tired of mainstream, and I was looking for a lot of underground stuff. And then I think I found Tech N9ne, and Tech N9ne was like my favorite. Literally, if you ask her, if you look at my iTunes, majority of it is just all Tech N9ne. And then even with that, I was getting kind of cynical, man. I was okay, underground hip hop, this hip hop, and then I was getting kind of lost, and I was actually about to just kind of give up on hip-hop, in a way. Mm-hmm. But when I met them, I guess I'll tell you how, depending on how the questions go, when I met them, they said, hey, we're doing an album with Nerdcore, and I heard this genius, Cam3, this genius, I heard an X-Men sample, a Space Invader sample, I heard a NASBAR, what's the name of the game, the actual game?
The NASTAR Warrior.
That's like and Golden Axe, and I said, "Yo, like I've never heard nothing like this." And then and Jay let me hear Megaran for the first time. Was like pretty much what Twill said. Nerdcore. They was like, "This is what nerdcore is." And I was just like, "My inner geek has been dying because of mainstream music, and I thought I had to be a certain way, but now I can just
just like that,
like a bag." So, but like. These people, when we met, is when I learned what nerdcore was, and it's funny because that's also the same time I started doing nerdcore. So it's thanks to them.
That's like really dope. That's really cool. Okay, so that's to kind of segue into like another question, because I think this actually was like based off of like a question or a convo me and Charlie had like years ago when we first met. But how does nerdcore like differentiate itself or is different from like traditional rap or traditional hip hop, if that makes sense?
What was the question?
It broke up.
Sorry.
So it's like, how does nerdcore rapping separate or is different from like traditional rap, if there is a difference?
That's the thing. It doesn't really seem to. Now, back in the day, again, she mentioned the grandfathers, like MC Frontalot and things of that nature. It was heavy, 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 heavy in the culture, so much so that somebody outside of hacker culture or whichever topic they were talking about wouldn't understand it at all.
Mm.
And I think what's happening nowadays is, like with us and with Rand and Samus, they're making it relatable, just like hip-hop and people even outside of guys who video game every single day or, who's really in the culture can get with it. And it's starting to sound a bit more mainstream, so that line is getting blurred, like, as time goes on. Which is great for us, because that's why we were like, hey,
this is a thing. We can actually do it because we had the modern sound. So now we're bringing it to nerdcore.
Nice.
I think there is a bit. It's both. I think a lot of rappers are starting to go that route. Like a lot of the new rappers, you hear a lot more nerdcore stuff. You see their album covers. You see like these Goku or Invader Zim kind of covers of the artists, and a lot more people are sampling video game stuff now, mm-hmm. making really trap. But I personally think that that nerdcore element is going to start to actually take over. You're going to see more of that in the mainstream, and a lot of the junky drug stuff that you see now is actually on its way out the door because more and more people are becoming fans of. I mean, how many people have seen the Avengers movies? Millions. I mean, people have seen, like, are in Dragon Ball Z, and they're getting introduced from a mainstream standpoint, so they're going to start leaning the music towards, hey, I like that game, I like that show. So, nerdcore is a future.
I mean, and it also kind of speaks to the, I'm going to sound totally white when I say this, the economic status of the country. Mm. I mean, a lot of mainstream songs nowadays aren't about going to the club and spending a bunch of money. I mean, how many songs have we heard in the past year or two about, I'm broke, fuck it, let's go to the basement and jam together, you know, because that's how the world is right now. So it's really hard, I think, even for people like me, who were not brought up in hip-hop culture. You know, I was brought up with, you know, rock and opera and pop. You know, it was very hard for me to get into hip-hop in the early 2000s, and it's why I did not listen to the radio, because I couldn't relate to it. And more, especially with stuff that's out nowadays, even if it's not the best hip-hop music that's out there, it's certainly more relatable.
Right.
And when you see, like, the possible effect in, like, different, like, aspects of pop culture from, like, you know, like, mainstream artists like Logic being on Rick and Morty,
yep.
Or, you know, the Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, pretty much, like, running a spectrum and whatnot. Freaking Lupe Fiasco doing Street Fighter dedicated songs and even participating in winning Street Fighter tournaments and whatnot, like, those are events, and we're definitely seeing that rise in, like, how mainstream culture and geek culture, like, alternative culture, whatever you want to call it, like, it's really starting to just really blur the lines. Before, we thought there were going to be a bunch of gatekeepers and everything like that. They were going to be like, you guys aren't nerdcore enough. Like, you need to fill out these forms, like, how nerdy are you on a scale of 1 to 100, whatnot. And I was worried about that from the get-go, but at the same time, it was just kind of like, it doesn't matter necessarily, like, exactly, like, to what extent, whether you're, like, a front a lot where you wear the tight suspenders and stuff like that and pocket protectors on stage and whatnot, or if you're just a person that, you know, just grew up in a certain, you know, social class or anything like that, awkward as hell and everything, playing video games, anime and whatnot, doing stuff they relate to if you're earnest with it and, like, really put that type of talent into it that people are seeing it. And that's why I think the nerdcore thing is just kind of like, it's just expanding every day.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll take SAT answers for 1,000, Alex.
Okay. Is there like a stigma or a negative response to nerdcore that you guys have ever heard of or seen or experienced?
In all honesty, because I'm the newest, and I've been introducing a lot of my friends to it.
They're all interested.
Maybe because of the new breed of artists. Oh, I will say this. Depends on the artist. I let one of my friends, he came to a concert with us, and he saw Megan Ramp perform, and he bought an album, and he really likes it. He likes my record system stuff, too, that I do. And then I think he also tried listening to, Schaefer, who's very, very, very different. Schaefer really stands out. And my friend was just like, I don't know, man. I don't know if this is my thing. You know, so then I have my brother, who heard Schaefer, loved Schaefer. And he heard Megaran, was like, I like him better. So I think it just depends on the person and the artist. You know?
I think it also depends on how open-minded the person is. Because a lot of times, like, a lot of my artist friends are people I've met through the nerdcore community. So a lot of times when I'm introducing people to something new, nerdcore-wise, it's just people who are listeners or people who may be potential fans or even family members, and they're like, you can't make a living about rapping about video games. I'm like, and that's where you're wrong! you know, I think it depends on how open-minded they are to something that's new, you know?
Yeah, I've had the experience, because I'm like one of the bullheads. Me and Osiris run the actual recording studio portion of it. Mm-hmm. And there have been so many artists that come in here that were just like me, where they were sharing a lot of geeky bars or sampled something. I was just like, hey, you're doing nerdcore. And they're like, what's nerdcore? You know, they never heard of it. So when I tell them about it, it's always positive. So I've had a lot of positive experiences with pretty much throwing that tag or that genre around. Mm-hmm. People love it.
And of course, like I said before, like I had a perception of, I guess, nerdcore rap before actually getting into it and whatnot, seeing what it was, what it's offered. And because it's so like it's so vast in terms of like the different types of rappers that are in it, it can be easy to get lost or like at least introduced into a different way. And you know, I guess like Twill and everybody said, like, it depends on how open-minded you are to search around to see which artists you gravitate toward, but it's just kind of like geek culture in general. There's no one definition for it or anything.
Right, right. Yep. Now let's get to something fun that I've been wanting to, like, ask since I seen the video. Tell me about your upcoming video, House Party. Like, because that video was fun as hell.
Tell me
how did the song come to be? The fact that it was done at, like, I believe a hotel party in fucking MAGFest. everything about it was amazing.
So we have the album, which Hotel Party is on, is an album called Wreckfest. And pretty much Wreckfest is the story, it's a concept album, which has never been done before, of this guy's first experience at the convention. And he goes through all the things you would experience at a convention. Like your first time, like being the culture shock, the game room, maybe meeting a girl, some con drama up in there, and of course, the hotel party. So we had the track list first. We did the song. We're like, okay, we need a song that's a strong single, and this song was so much fun, and everyone loved the beat, loved it, and Cam with the crazy chorus, it was like, yo, this is the single. So we actually sat down here and had like two whole meetings about how we were going to do the video, and we like scene for scene, like basically was like, okay, this is going to happen. Like, we have a girl putting people into the bathroom, she going to pull a girl and a guy, and this one girl going to pull up her skirt and show her hoo-ha and all this crazy stuff. We went over it, and then and I think when we got there, there was just stuff that was just naturally happening. Like, I don't know if you saw the scene when Jay like bent over to get a drink, and her friend's behind her like spanking, and she stands up like, "What the hell?" Like, it just happened. So I want to say it was about 60-70% planned, but other 30% was just the awesome fans and friends that we had that just made the hotel, the video shoot what it was. Because if it wasn't for all those people who supported us, it could have never been that amazing.
Yeah. The other thing we should mention is that whole video was shot in literally 2 hours because the hotel party started at 9 and hotel security was there at 11 to shut the party down. And other than like a few stragglers who stayed behind to catch some extra scenes, Two hours.
Yeah,
it was crazy. People still talk about the party, like, online when we go to events. They're like, I can't believe that party. I was like, it was only 2 hours.
It was nuts. And I'll say this, one of the best memories I have of it is the scene where I'm in the hallway during my verse. That was the scene we started with. Like, that was, well, outside of the very beginning, but that was the second scene. And people knew about the party, they're being invited, and as we're doing the scene, people are just flooding in the room. We're like, okay, we're still doing the scene, you know, me rapping. We're just like, after a while, it's just like a lot of people going. We're like, we should probably go in there. Right. So soon as all four of us walk in, the whole room, like, we had a suite and a room. It's a huge place. Yeah. They're just like, ah, yay, we're at the festival. We're like, okay, start the video, let's go.
I remember being brought in there like last, just like, and as soon as I brought out, I was in there, like, it was just a little, like, walls of people.
Yeah.
Like, we had
the AC all the way down that we could, like, put it as setting, and it was still, like, 90 degrees in that room. It was disgustingly hot, and there's that many people, thankfully, everybody wore deodorant and showered that day.
Yeah.
So,
yes. Yes. Could that shit?
Hot funk is real.
Shh. Oh my god. Okay, so what is your relationship to MAGFest? Because, like, you know, just every time I think of Wreck the System, I always associate you guys with MAGFest, like, nonstop, like, oh, yeah, they're going to be at MAGFest.
That's funny. Well, our relationship, honestly, I went to MAGFest before I went with Wreck the System, maybe a year beforehand, and that's actually, I'd say, where it started, because I met the first two members at MAGFest, or whatnot, or at least one of the members at MAGFest, and the Cam was with me, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. That was a while ago. But, yeah. So then we kind of started after that, and then our that entire year was just planning, you know, and next MAGFest, all of Wreck the System came together, and we performed. It was a hotel party. But yeah, it was at a hotel party. It was 1449. So that was really cool. And now, you know, MAGFest is really supportive. You know, we're always kind of doing our biggest events there. We go to pretty much all of their events except Mag West so far. We couldn't make it this year, maybe next year. And that's why, is because I feel like that's where Wreck the System really started, and that's our home, you know.
Right.
Well, the cool thing about MAGFest too is that they're really about cultivating a nerd scene and culture, especially with music, because MAG stands for music and gaming. Mm-hmm. And they are always, this is one thing I love about them, they're always trying to get on the ground floor and find the next big thing and really help in any way they can. And we have totally built a majority of our fan base and brand through them. And I know we're not the only ones. I know a bunch of other musicians have done the same. My sister does artist alleys for a living, and MAG was her first con that she realized, like, she could do this for a living because they made it possible. So, really, it's kind of cool that they're kind of like the incubator for dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's awesome.
That's a deep one. That's deep.
MAGFest.
They're dreams. So I'm just going to, like, steal that for the article just to let you know, like, that's a thing. So.
But it's true.
Yeah, you're right.
It's true.
And I will say this, MAGFest was also my very first convention.
Mm-hmm.
So oh, wow.
They actually inspired, MAGFest inspired the album Wreckfest, which Hotel Party is on. So if it wasn't for MAGFest, there would be no Hotel Party.
Yep.
And who knows, it may not be a Wreck the System without MAGFest.
Honestly.
Yeah, it may not have been.
Our first show was at MAGFest at a private party. And then the next show I think we got was actually Mag Stock. And that's when we really started the first, like, bands. And, like, I remember, I think we maybe did $100 of merch or something. Whoa. And we were just floored, like, oh my god, people actually wanted to buy merch from us.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the year, like, just shortly before that, like a couple months before, we weren't even really grouped like that.
Yeah.
Like, we were all just artists and collaborators. Like, Wreck the System was mainly the studio.
That was the studio,
like,
man. Right.
Right.
It was never meant to end.
And then we just kind of started performing with each other, and next thing you know, when people went further, we were just like, what do they call it? It was like, I guess, Wreck the System. And
they literally just called us Wreck the System. I was like, but
it's just, studio. I guess.
Wreck the System.
Okay, we are. Let's focus.
Sorry.
You know,
sorry. We get very excited.
I can tell, and that's, like, always great, because, you know, it's always great to see, like, that kind of energy with, like, a group and stuff like that. Like,
it was such an interview with, like, so tell me about your dreams and aspirations. I sit on the couch and get blank out of my belly button.
Yeah.
So, story time, man.
Story time.
Cut all the story time, man. It's out.
She should have like, if this was, like, a video interview, she should have, like, a tick counter at the bottom. Like, how many times since then, story time, then.
No, it's totally fine. Like, okay, so another question is, like, do you guys feel like you have to prove your nerd card? Because, like, you know, sometimes in the nerd community, it's always, like, when it comes to video games, comic books, and everything, you always have to, like, someone, like, will ask you a stupid question to, like, see if you're really, like, deep in it. Like, do you guys ever feel like you have to do that or anything of that sort?
They try. I've actually been asked by a client before if how deep in the anime I was, and if I knew anime that was not mainstream. I was like, I do, but I'm not going to name it. I'm running the session. Like, I don't have that kind of, you know, feeling to prove myself. I know what I am.
I never had that issue. I mean, of course, just look at me. I grew up in the shit. It just comes naturally because in the con scene and everything like that, I just gravitate toward the fans and everything like that. I'm just a natural fanboy. So, like, mm-hmm. if you're talking about something like when it comes to, like, anime, like, if you're talking about different games and stuff like that, like Avatar or Smash Brothers or something like that, I will be all over it and probably can't even shut me up. So, I'm about that, and they know it.
I think as a geek nerd in general, no. I've never had to just because, I mean, I've literally been going to conventions since I was, like, in elementary school. I think the only time I've ever had to prove myself is in, like, the hacker community, the hacker scene. Because a lot of technology is very male-dominated. And it's mm-hmm. very funny because people are always like, oh, you're a girl. You don't know anything about computers.
Oh, my fucking yes.
But the best thing about that is that when people do that, I'm really able to let my work speak for itself. Because, and I think all of us are like that, you know, like the lyrics and the stuff that we write. It's like, if you really don't think we know what we're talking about, like, just go listen to our material. Like, who do you know who writes hacker pop songs that uses hacker terms that doubles as a double entendre about their vagina? You know, like...
That one.
You know, so I think, you know, anytime I've ever felt like, oh, I have to prove myself, I'm like, no, my work speaks for itself.
Dope.
And if they don't get it, then they're obviously not the true nerd.
Right. So this, since I was new to the culture, I kind of thought I did at a certain in the beginning, even when I was thinking about doing it. Like, I did a solo project on the record system, and it took me a while. So I was like, I don't know what to talk about. And then Jay kind of had to be in my ear, like, yo, like, just be who you don't have to be, you know, but just be who you know, the motto is be who you are without fear. And she kind of really pushed that on me and kind of really helped me crank it out. And a lot of people, actually, a geek site rated my first album. It's called Potential Energy. It was like an EP. It was my debut on the record system, and they rated it, and they gave it a 9 out of 10. And I was like, and there's not one geek-like theme song on there. But they really, really enjoyed it. And I was like, okay, shit. And one quick story. We were at Otakon earlier this year, Game Room, and I'm playing Injustice. I love Injustice. Love it. And I'm not a super gamer, but I'm playing this guy, and I just like playing the game. Don't care if I win or lose, I'm just playing the game. And he's playing me. He's like, well, you know, I'm like the best player in here, you know, just... doing my thing. I've been beating people all day. And I'm just like, okay, whatever, bro. I'm just enjoying it. And he's like, why aren't you meter burning? If you know a real player, we know how to do this. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, bro, whatever. And he's like doing all the special stuff. But at the end of the match, I won. And he was like, oh, I'm gonna be tipsy. You got him and walked away. So I told Jay this stuff. I was like, as Will said, it's one of those things where when I don't give it any energy, I just enjoy myself. And yeah.
You know, so I've been going to cons forever. And the thing we used to do when I was, like, my brothers and sisters, when we'd go, because we would meet those kind of people, you know, especially with the younger, you know, con crowd. Because back in 2004, 2005, like, it was popular, but it's nothing like it was today. And people would be like, oh, yeah, I'm the best GDR player. And we all would look at each other and go, friend count.
Okay, so this is a more like trying to figure out who Wrecked the System is, because you guys said before that you were just like, you know, collaborators. How did you guys make the decision that to go from like, oh, we're just a, you know, Wrecked the System studio collaborators to Wrecked the System being like a group?
And after we performed, I think the chemistry was seriously just so good. You know, it just felt right. Like, I don't even think it was a conscious decision. It literally just happened. We did the performance, and then we ended up getting booked for Magstock, and we were, like, addressed as Wrecked the System. We're just like, all right, you know, like, it was very, very fast and just felt so natural. So
it happened so fast, we didn't even realize, I think. I think at one point we looked back, and we were like, whoa, wait, we're a group. When
yeah.
did that happen?
Yeah.
It's, like, the thing is, like, our first project together was Tokens. Like, our first short project was like a collaborative effort. Like, we had a vision of making this whole Wu-Tang Clan of Nerdcore, like, with Under the 36 Chambers or whatnot.
But we were collaborating with all these different artists and stuff like that, like from around the way, like everybody from Last Waterbenders to other different artists and everything like that, RPG and whatnot. We wanted to collaborate with these guys, but it was sort of like we just collaborate with each other and whatnot, but it was never like sort of a group effort into it. But as soon as we started doing these songs together and realizing, like, we're matching each other and just, like, the way we stage, you know, the shows and everything like that, and the energy, it only makes sense.
That is awesome. Okay. Do you guys think nerdcore goes hand in hand with nerd culture? Like, where is nerdcore in place?
Yeah.
Yes, awesome. Well, thank you guys for your time. Like, I think I ran through all the questions because you guys literally answered other questions within other answers, so that's awesome. So, what else do you guys want, like, the PCU audience to know about Wreck the System and Nerdcore? So, this is the floor is handed to you guys. Whatever you want the people to know.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, as Osiris mentioned earlier, our motto is be who you are without fear. And I think that really does go with the culture, because when you're in school, and it seems to start in school a lot, you know, you're kind of into something that most people aren't, because it's the pop culture, mainstream, whatever's going on out there, and you're kind of in your own world. And sometimes I think a lot of people develop this, do I need to be this way to make friends, or... you know, they're a little shy or scared or whatever hang-ups they have from school. So going to a convention, for most of the people I've talked to, was that eye-opening experience, or meeting other people that are like you. It's like, man, I don't have to be this way. So that goes with creators as well, because sometimes people get in this habit of wanting to create a certain way, because if they don't create this way, they won't be successful. So it pretty much embodies the nerd culture and just creators in general.
That was like the best way to like end the interview. That was deep as fuck. Like, damn. Okay, so you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for your time. I have, like, more than enough material. And if it's cool with you guys, if I come up with any questions or anything else, is it cool if I, like, you know, email you guys and just, you can answer that?
Absolutely. Sure can.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.